Welcome to 54 Live. I am your host, Digsies, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jake. Jake, what's up, buddy?
Life is pretty awesome right now. I mean, it is finally the time of year where we start to golf. The flowers are starting to emerge. Augusta National is waking up slowly and surely. And yes, there are some people who are not going to be making the trip to Augusta, Georgia this year, but there are plenty of livers who are, and they're going to be out there and they're going to dominate like they know they can.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeddah this past weekend. What a tournament.
Yeah, it was great. And before we get any further, just want to let you guys know that today's episode is sponsored by birdietown.com. If you follow me on Twitter and Instagram, you see I posted a video this weekend. They sent me the new box of cut gray golf balls. They went really far. They felt ridiculously good. So I will put a link in the description of this video and on our Twitter and Instagram. Go out. They're cheap balls. They're $25 a dozen, and they really – they're – just as good quality as tour balls. You know, they work really well. They held up throughout the round. I only played 9 holes, but they held up. So go to birdietown.com to get those. And second note, I feel like garbage. So if I sound weird, that's because I'm sick. So we're going to let Jake do most of the talking. But yeah.
So wait, so you're telling me right now that these balls made the cut?
They made the cut. The cut balls made the cut.
So they are your weekend play things.
Yes, it was funny. We had a lot of jokes, me and my buddy, about them. Like, oh, let's see if the cut balls cut. And like, oh, look at that cut from the cut, you know. So it was a lot of good jokes with them. But hey, first hole, par 5, like 400 something yards. I made a par. I haven't swung a club in 3 months. I wasn't thinking. I just went up to the ball, hit it, driver. Pitched out down the a little left on the rough, pitched out onto the fairway about 150 yards, had a nice 100-yard gap wedge in there, stuck it right next to the pin, left the birdie putt short, tap in for par. But hey, not playing in 3 months, first hole par. I should have quit there and been like, you know what, 2024, one hole, one par.
Right.
We'll call it a year, because the rest of the round didn't go too good once I started thinking.
I'll tell you this. I was playing in a tournament this past weekend, Saturday, and I was so irritated. I missed out in the money by one shot, 18 pars.
Really?
Yeah, just 18 pars.
So all you needed was one birdie.
Yeah, and I couldn't get it. I could not. It was bad. It was, you know, it was one of those where I think I had seven shots that were, you know, within that they were between 10 to 20 feet. Putts. Mm-hmm. I couldn't make one, and I was just like, I don't know what to do today.
It happens.
It makes your heart like hurt.
Yeah. But, and before we get to Jeddah, my Torque hat came just in time. It came this weekend right as Waco Neiman was winning another tournament, and he's the top dog on Live right now. He just got invited to the PGA Championship. He'll be at Augusta. He won Jeddah by 4 strokes over Louis Oosthuizen. And is there anybody in Live playing good as good as Joaquin Neiman right now?
There is not. You know, he took this offseason, and you can tell that he did two things very well. He's a little bit older now, and he's starting to reach the peak era of his testosterone. If you guys don't know, we've talked this several times, is that as a man, your peak areas of testosterone are ages 27 through 34. That's kind of your peak zone of testosterone. That's why you see a lot of these guys who are, you know, not really anything special muscle-wise at age 22. And all of a sudden, you see him at 30, and they got great shoulders. They got good definition on their arms. And if you look at Neiman, you can see it especially in his arms and his shoulders. They're much more defined this year. You're not going to see it so much in his butt or his legs, but you're going to see it a lot more in his shoulders. Mm-hmm. And it's paying off dividends. He's hitting the ball a lot farther. He's pretty much up there with Bryson DeChambeau as far as distance goes.
Really?
And that's saying a lot. They were saying it on the broadcast. I think he hit his drive on number 18 on Sunday, 430 yards.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, granted, that hole is designed to be like that.
Yeah. So,
but at the same time, he still beat the bricks off that ball.
He's killing it, man. And honestly, I think if you want to bet on the Masters, go put a bet on him now if you want to bet. Because right now his odds are 31-1. And, you know, he should be in the 20s, you know, because honestly, I would say he should be in the top 5 favorites to win Augusta, because there's nobody else. Like, look on the PGA Tour. None of their guys are playing well this year, you know? Like, look, none of the big guys won. Scheffler hasn't done anything. Rory looked like he was going to have a chance to win, of course. I bet on Rory again because I'm constantly – ask Jake how much money I've lost on Rory McIlroy in the past 2 years of us doing this podcast, not to mention a few years before that. I bet on every single major that comes up, I put money on Rory to win the major because I'm like, he's eventually going to – it just started with the Masters because I'm like, there's no way he's not going to win a Masters. Then I started doing every major, and I'm like, he's eventually going to win a major sometime soon. And now it's at the point where I can't not bet on him because the one major I don't bet on him, he'll end up winning. You know,
well,
and
well, if you were truly a fan of Rory McIlroy,
I would have bet on him. I know.
I know. That's your problem. You're just too much of a fan.
I know.
But
I want to win my money back. I'm like $2,000-$3,000 in the hole from Rory right now. It's insane.
The real issue with it is that you're absolutely right. The PGA guys, they're not showing up when they're there. You can only have so many Cinderella stories for the PGA Tour in a year before you have to ask yourself, why are there so many Cinderella stories?
Yeah.
Why is nobody Jake Knapp winning a tournament? Why is the guy this past week was another
Austin Eckert.
Yeah, Austin Eckert, Oklahoma State Cowboy. You know,
he's been around. I know he's been around. He's not a nobody. He's not like a nobody like Knapp.
He's still a nobody. This is like a guy doing his
– The casual
fan won't know who he is. And the thing is that tournament was also a big enough event where you had Rory, you had Lowry, you had enough of the big guys there. You had Fitzpatrick.
Cameron Young, Ricky. Yeah.
So you had enough of the bigger guys that are left on the PGA Tour. And you got to say it like that because most of that talent pool is just depleted at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the guys that are there aren't good. We know that they're good. Okay. We know that they are good, but they are not guys that you expect to win.
No.
And that's the reality.
And we saw Paul Azinger. He came out, you know, he was the lead analyst on NBC for the past 18 years. He came out and he said that the PGA Tour is just a feeder tour for LIV right now. You do well on the PGA Tour, that means that you can go get a bag on LIV. And that's what's happened, Rom. And we saw Rory's talking about it, you know. And honestly, I made a comment on Twitter with your post. As you know, if you follow Jake_Span, SPANN on Twitter, every week he releases his rankings for LIV Golf franchise, you know, value. And the cliques have like a four points. And the Legion 13 has 10 points, and Legion 13 has only played two events ever in the history of Legion 13, and Cleeks has played every single tournament since LIV has came out. So Cleeks are horrible, and it's the perfect franchise for Rory to take over. Let Rory take over to Cleeks. Let him rename it to something to do with Ireland. You know, bring Shane Lowry over, bring over some other Irish guys, and call it a day.
Well, and even if they just give them a brand new franchise, there's still opportunities to be had there. But you're right.
There's a spot for one more team. You can't go above 60, you know. So one more team that will be 56 players on a team, and then you could have four wild card spots.
I think so. I think it's probably a fair place because there's two things that LIV likes to focus on, especially right now, and that's pace of play and just the overall fan experience.
Yeah.
So the additions that they made to the roster, because they added, you know, six total spots this year, two more groups on the course. And that, I believe, has filled out a lot of the gaps that were on the course that were happening at previous events. We noted several times when you went to an event, there were, with 48 players, there were some gaps that you, if you were a big enough fan, you didn't mind. But if you were a casual person there, you would mind.
Yeah, it was like when I went to Bedminster, there was at least 45 minutes to an hour I was sitting on a hole that nobody came through.
Correct. And that's not great. But anyway, you're right, though. The overall history of the league is developing pretty heavily right now. And it's basically, Paul Azinger is right. It's turned into a feeder tour for LIV. And you say that, well, look at the top field of LIV. Because not only are the top guys playing, the top guys are winning on LIV. Look at the history of LIV Golf.
Mm-hmm.
Only one scrub, and I say it like that, scrub from LIV Golf. That's the PGA Tour fanboy's words.
Danny Lee?
No, not even Danny Lee. Chikara. Eugenio Chikara. And that was during season one in Bangkok where everybody had loose butthole.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person had the runs that week.
Yeah, that was sick. Yep.
Yeah, everyone was sick. Brandon Grace left with an abdominal injury due to dehydration. I mean, it was a bad week.
Yeah.
And he won that event. And that was the only scrub victory by anybody on LIV Golf. If you look at LIV Golf, the big chickens are winning.
Yeah.
And the big chickens are motivated to win.
Dustin's winning once. But Dustin, honestly, since going back, Dustin has always won a tournament every single year, even on the PGA Tour. He had this longest streak. Like, I think it was like 11 years in a row. No matter what, no matter what type of form he's in, no matter injuries, what have you, if he's playing, he's winning at least once a year.
Yeah, and that's a thing that you expect from the big guys.
But yep, Brooks won a couple times. Cameron Smith won. The only person we have is Rahm, but he's only played two tournaments. Rahm will get a win this year.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, you're right. If you look through the history of LIV's annals, Taylor Gooch, 3 wins. Cam Smith, 3 wins inside LIV. Dustin Johnson, 3 wins inside LIV. Brooks Koepka, 4 total wins since joining LIV. 3 of those being LIV tournaments and then 1 major.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're seeing the big guys are here. They're ready to fire. They're winning. Neiman now has 2. And he was somebody who, honestly, we knew was going to break through at some point. He was too talented and too young to not break through. And it was frustrating last year. I think the biggest difference this year between this year and last year, extra muscle mass. He finally has his backroom organization sorted out. And I really do believe that. I think last year he was trying to handle travel logistics a little too much, or maybe be a little too hands-on as a coach or a leader. And that was distracting him from his own play. But this year he's all in it for Neiman.
And he has confidence.
That's the most important thing. And, you know, there's two, and not only that, but Oosthuizen, man. The dude is looking smooth. He could tell.
Yeah, he needs to get – honestly, like, I know everybody's up and on saying Gooch needs it. Honestly, I don't think – like, Gooch's play on LIV last year, he does deserve to be in the Masters, but they're not going by that. Like, he didn't go to Asia and play. He didn't play outside of LIV. Gooch only played on LIV. These other guys played on the Asian tour to try to get the world ranking points to get into the majors. So it's like, did Gooch really, if Gooch wanted to make the Masters, he could have played. What did he do all winter long? There was like 3 months where there was no LIV events.
Right.
He could have went and played 2 or 3 events.
Well, not only that, you're absolutely right. Neiman has, first off, offseason, look at what Neiman did. He officially joined the DP World Tour, which, you know, LIV players do have the right to do that right now. They have the ability to join the DP World Tour to be able to, you know, get into more events, blah, 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 blah,
and
all that jazz.
Quick tangent. I think it would be smart for LIV to take over the DP World Tour. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know when that PGA – I know PGA Tour and DP World Tour have an agreement. I don't know when that's going to run out, because the PGA Tour pretty much is saying they're going off on their own. So if I'm LIV, I'm taking the DP World Tour, and I'm having LIV, DP World Tour, Asian Tour, and you know what? LIV and those two tours are the World Tour. The PGA Tour is the U.S. Tour. Like, that's how it's going to be, because I really don't see, like, I personally, I've said it over and over again, I want the PGA Tour and LIV to come to an agreement, because I want the LIV guys to be able to play certain PGA Tour events. I want the PGA Tour guys to be able to gain status on LIV. I want everybody playing with each other. That's the best for golf. Like, I think that's the best, you know, product that golf can give you. The best versus the best. Every single week, or at least 15 times a year. That's not going to happen right now. So the next best thing is LIV takes over the DP World Tour and the Asian Tour. So on the weeks that LIV only plays 14 weeks, you know, these golfers, they want to play 25 plus times. You know, the other 11 times they want to play, they could go play on the Asian Tour. They could go play on the DP World Tour. And there's a lot of premier events on the DP World Tour that they could go play, you know, the Spanish Open, the French Open, you know, like all these events, these signature events that I think these guys should play. And I think they should be able to, you know, earn that, you know, the guys that aren't on LIV should be able to earn their way onto LIV by doing well on the DP World Tour.
Well, and I think we've seen that happen in its own ways. I mean,
yeah.
More importantly, you know, we look at what's happened this past winter. You know, the LIV guys said, "Hey, we're going to take the Australian swing, we're going to take the South African swing, and we're going to go for it."
Yeah,
the Stinger GC players went over to the South Africa swing. That's their territory. That's their turf. And they staked that flag in there.
And that's why I think Oosthuizen deserves, if anybody on LIV deserves a Masters invite other than Neiman, it's Oosthuizen, because he's performing on LIV, and he went out and won outside of LIV, and he's playing outside of LIV, you know?
Yeah. And so that's, to me, it shows a dedication to world golf. And you're right. Gooch has not shown that in the same kind of value. Now, granted, he did go from being a regular golf millionaire to being a big chicken this past year. So I understand why he didn't necessarily go and play elsewhere. I mean, the dude won $40 million last year playing golf. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if you're not going to have at least one barn burner of a party, you know, when are you going to in life?
You know? Yeah, but there's 3 months.
I know.
That's a lot of time. You could have a whole month bender and still have a month to recover and go play two Asian Tour events, you know?
Hey, man, you saw what Dustin Johnson did after season one.
Yeah.
he did the exact same thing that Gooch did last year.
Yep.
But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how this works out. I mean,
yeah.
I do think that Oosthuizen and Gooch both deserve an invite. I know there's a few more Asian Tour events between now and the Masters. Will we see a late term invite? I really hope so. I just think it's fair. I don't see a Masters with Oosthuizen not happening. Like I really do think that Louis is going to get an invite. He has too many top major finishes. He's healthy. Clearly he's healthy. Last year, if you guys don't know, the Stinger GC were beaten the hell up. But those guys are some warriors, okay? Because Brandon Grace kept having the abdominal injuries. Charles Schwartzel had an issue where, for whatever reason, he had like a blood problem where his left arm would go numb during the round. Literally numb. The whole entire round, he's playing with a numb left arm. Louis Oosthuizen has had elbow issues for like the past 2 years since joining LIV. They are all clearly healthy right now and they're playing some good golf. Louis needs to be at the Masters.
You know who else I want to see on the Masters? Who's playing really good in South America right now? Angel Cabrera. Former Masters champion. They said that they're not going to stop him from you know, playing the Masters. If he wants to play, he can play. I think he just needs to figure out some visa issues. And, you know, I'd love to see him. And that playoff in 2013 with Adam Scott, that was a great match. That's like one of my top five favorite Masters of all time.
He's an interesting guy. His situation with the legal trouble was very disgusting. And, you know, there's still a lot of things that are going on with that. He's obviously done his time.
Yeah.
So I don't hold anything against him beyond time served. We'll see what happens. I mean, he's over 50 now, so you gotta be mindful of that. But we'll see what happens with him long-term.
He was in contention and I forget what tour he was playing. Is it the Latin America tour or whatever? But he was in contention.
Yeah, something like that. I think he's still somewhat barred from the PGA Tour Champions or something like that. I don't know.
Well, speaking about being in contention, somebody that was not in contention, Anthony Kim. Once again, we have another Kim that is DFL, dead fucking last on LIV Golf. And Anthony Kim, 16 over. I think he was last by 13 shots, right?
Yeah,
I think.
He was last by 11 shots at Final Bell. Hudson Swafford, the other
wild card.
Yeah,
these wild cards are really killing it, let me tell you. Lauri Kanta had a good week, but Lauri Kanta didn't play this week.
That's another conversation. I really think that Lauri Kanter should be out there. I know Lauri Kanter doesn't turn heads, and I know that they're putting a lot of hype behind the Anthony Kim situation, but he looks like a beat up party animal. He looks like David Lee Roth did in the Behind the Music. He looks like he looks like Vince Neil and Axl Rose, you know, 15 years after their big days, and they're just trying to talk to them and they just look beaten up
because he topped the drive, he shanked the ball, and I said hopefully he goes out and shoots even par. I was way off. Like, this guy, he is not close to contending.
Well, he wasn't way off, but he was off by far enough to where you don't think it was fair to give him the opportunity.
I'm saying, but when you have someone like Neiman or like top notch guys, best in the world, like John Rahm, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Cameron Smith, like, this guy has no chance to beat those guys.
So my big thing with him is that, and if you watch the actual broadcast, this is the first time I actually watched
him play.
No, I watch it live all the time, but this is the first time that I watched the CW's broadcast instead of LIV Golf Plus. I just didn't want to go to my computer, so I just watched on my television. they were showing him way too much for somebody who was nowhere in any kind of conversation. Phil Mickelson had his best finish in his history at LIV Golf. And he got shown once on the CW Sunday broadcast. One shot. They showed at least 20 Anthony Kim shots.
Insane.
And that's, to me, is just, I get it. They had a dedicated camera out there for Anthony Kim. It's his return, yada, yada. I think he showed enough quality to showcase that there is an opportunity for a game to return. But I really think it should have been an Asian Tour International Series card rather than a LIV Golf card.
Yeah, he should have played a few in the Asian Tour and tuned up. But, you know, his ego probably...
Or have him on site as a reserve player for LIV.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, he comes in, like this week, Matt Wolf has an injury. I don't know if it was a real injury or not. You got to have to ask those questions from Matt Wolf. His mental state looks better this year, so I do think it was a legitimate injury versus the DC event last year where it clearly was not. It was a mental thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Wade Ormsby comes in for him. And so, to me, Wade Ormsby, good situation. That's where I would have put Anthony Kim, is have him as an on-site reserve player.
Yeah, I feel bad for the team that gets him, though.
Well, yes, I understand that. But, you know, it's a conversation point versus you just having some guy go out there and take Laurie Cantor's spot, which
– I'm sorry, man. Like, and I know there's so many LIV guys. Like, you know the LIV guys, the LIV bots that I'm talking about. Like, the people that LIV can't do any wrong, PGA Tour can't do any right. Like, us here at 54 Live, at least me, like, I'm in the middle. Like, I'm still a PGA Tour fan. I'll critique LIV when they do something wrong. I put up the post, who has a better chance to win this year, Tiger Woods on the PGA Tour or Anthony Kim on LIV Golf? There's 3 hours remaining, 263 votes, 54% said Anthony Kim, only 46% said Tiger Woods. The clear answer is Tiger Woods. Like,
what do you mean? Because he doesn't even play, though. That's the thing. But
no, I'm saying, like, if Tiger, you know, Tiger's not going out there shooting 16 over.
That is true. When Tiger goes out there, he's still shooting at a scorecard to have a chance of making the cut. I know.
Yeah, or even what, like, you know, Tiger could go out and win one of these events. Anthony Kim is nowhere near close to winning one of these events. Like, granted, I know he only has to beat 53 other people, but, you know, like, both of them, the odds of one of them winning this year is very slim, both of them.
Right.
But if you had to pick one guy to win this year, it's obviously Tiger Woods.
So I picked Anthony Kim simply because he's playing more events than Tiger Woods. So mathematically,
is he though? Tiger's going to play the Masters, and you know Tiger's not injured. He just had a stomach issue. But you know he's still Tiger is still planning on playing a lot this year. You know Tiger will get at least 6-7 tournaments in, I believe.
You think he'll get that many in?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see. I know he's at least playing Augusta, but, you know, and he says he's going to play. I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
And also the Masters, Tiger stepped on them like Phil did last year. You're like, you can't count those guys out. You know,
they
could turn it on any week and win.
I will say that Tiger's game is there way more than Kim's. Now, the sad thing is also to me, this was the best event for Kim to make a debut at. Zero fans.
It's the easiest, yeah.
Zero fans. Very windy, so everyone's going to look rough. Zero alcohol. If you don't know how Saudi Arabia works, I'm sure there is alcohol somewhere.
I'm pretty sure, like, if you're there as a vacation and you're allowed to drink alcohol. It's like the whole thing where, like, women have to cover up. But, like,
if you
look at these women in Saudi Arabia, they're out there with their tits out and wearing thongs. Like,
right.
Like, if that's where you live and, like, you're a resident of Saudi Arabia, you can't do that stuff. Or if you're in Islam or Muslim, you can't do that. But, you know, if you're a regular Joe Schmo going over there, I'm pretty sure you're allowed to drink.
That makes sense. And we're not trying to talk politics here or geopolitical politics. We're just saying that overall, the Jeddah experience was the experience that was going to be the best for someone like Kim to showcase that he's there.
Bro, he was 33 shots behind the leader.
Yeah.
33 shots. That's insane.
Yeah. And like I said, they
showed this is him worse than C1 Kim last year. Worse than C1 Kim.
I don't know. We're going to have to look at the numbers and find out. But as I tweeted back to you this past week, it just seems like Greg Norman was just missing having Kim at the bottom of the leaderboard.
Yeah, I know. He needed to see Kim. And honestly, it's a great marketing move. Like, I think it was smart for Liv to bring him over, whether he was going to play good or not, because look how many eyeballs he's got. Like, I saw some of the, legacy media guys, the PGA Tour media guys that never watched Liv, saying like, oh, I set my alarm for 3 o'clock in the morning to wake up to watch Liv just to see Anthony Kim play. They weren't watching John Rahm or Dustin Johnson or Cam Smith when they came
right,
over.
Right.
Like Greg Norman made a great, move, and he got plenty of eyeballs on Liv this week because of Anthony Kim. So in a marketing standpoint, that's great. But in the aspect of respect for the game, like how many more weeks are you going to give this guy? If he goes out in Hong Kong and shoots 10 over again, what do you know?
You're right. And I feel bad for the situation with Hudson Swafford also, because Swafford was somebody who was supposed to have a full-time position last season. He didn't. He was injured the whole year and didn't play. Mm-hmm. So he lost his spot in Range Goats. I think his contract dictated that he be on LIV Golf through this season when he originally signed back in 2022.
So Anthony Kim took Laurie Cantor's spot this week?
Yes. Well, this past week. So they actually pushed out Laurie Cantor because Hudson Swafford has guaranteed starts throughout the entire season.
And out of all of them, Laurie Cantor's playing the best.
Right. And if you look at it, Laurie Cantor did compete in Mayakoba. He did compete in Vegas. I mean, if you look back at the Vegas numbers, Laurie Cantor, I mean, he's not out there, barn burning, but he shot 1 under, 6 under, 3 under, finished tied for 21st, which gets you LIV Golf points, by the way. Not very many, but it gets you points. You look back at his result in Mayakoba. Mayakoba, he's tied for 15th. He shoots 5 under, 2 over, 1 under, tied for 15th with Taylor Gooch. And if you look at Hudson Swafford, 36th at Mayakoba. If you go to Vegas, you have him all the way down at 51st, and then you have a 52nd in Jeddah.
Yeah,
I just don't like that they're benching somebody who's been loyal to LIV the entire time, been good to LIV the entire time, and is showing to be competitive.
I know. Honestly, so you got 54 guys. I know it's even with like the three per, each hole, but like, the wild cards, have an extra guy and send two groups out with two, they do the staggered start on Sunday, on the first tee. Like, is it really going to hurt to have Laurie Cantor out there? Let him go play by himself. Like it happens on the PGA Tour, players go out first in the morning by themselves,
Here's my big question.
Laurie Cantor tee off 10 minutes earlier than everybody else. And,
here's a big question for me, though, is they have three reserve players on site every single week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it's just three. They should have, honestly, more than that.
Yeah, but the chances are, chances of three people. Yeah.
You say that, but it happened in D.C. It happened in D.C. last year. So anyway, we have, Laurie Cantor, who I assume is out there. I don't know for sure, but I assume that he was out there.
Yeah. Why didn't he take the spot for Ormsby? Yeah.
Well, because the captains rank the reserve players
really
on a card.
So who's ranking Ormsby over Cantor with Cantor's latest play?
Bubba Watson.
He's fucking whack, that guy.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Bubba. I love you, but sometimes, man.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing ranking Wade Ormsby above
Laurie? He's probably friends with Wade Ormsby.
Maybe.
Probably part of his prayer group.
Maybe he likes that grinder mustache. I don't know.
Yeah. It's probably part of his prayer group or something,
Prayer group. But I understand what you're saying, but it's just one of those where that didn't make sense to me because you took somebody who has proven this season to be competitive. And granted, Wade Ormsby, he didn't shoot a bad number. He shot 2 over.
Cantor should be ranked first from everybody from the results.
Oh, absolutely.
Simply
because of the fact that he's been playing on LIV this season.
He's playing well.
Yes. When he's out there, he's competing.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing for me is that's where he should be.
Yeah. Last thing about Anthony Kim, he said they did like a little preview and he was walking with them on his practice round. And he said, I'm here to play golf. He's like, eventually I will speak about you know, what's happened and tell my story. I have a story to tell. Eventually I'll tell it, but right now I'm focused on golf. Man, and how great is that going to be when David Faraday sits down and does a one-on-one interview with Anthony Kim? Like, that's going to get numbers, man.
When they finally do that, it needs to be about a 20 to 30 minute.
Oh yeah, because like there's some signals and like some like there's some clues. Like he has that thing around his neck. He looked like he was choked with like something.
When you see him, he looks like
weathered.
He looks like a beat up rock star at the end of his career.
Yeah. Really and David Faraday and Greg Norman on the broadcast, they were talking about addiction and bouncing back and getting clean. So obviously, you know, we could all read between the lines and we all heard the rumors for the past 10 years, whatever, but it'll be nice to hear it from the horse's mouth. But it's good to see that he's, you know, getting himself, like he has a daughter who looks like she's around like 2 or 3 and he's straightened himself out and he wants to walk the right path. But
and understand, guys, our critiques of Anthony Kim have nothing to do with him personally.
No.
Our critiques have to do with his situation in the golf game, in the live atmosphere. That's it.
I want Anthony Kim to do well. Yes. I think if Anthony Kim goes back to 2010, Anthony Kim, it's great for Liv. Like he was entertaining, polarizing on the course. I want to see Anthony Kim contend and win.
Even if he gets himself to just Pat Perez status.
No, you want him to be more. No, Anthony Kim, you can't. That's like saying Tiger. Oh, you're having a Tiger Woods that's just going to make the cut every once in a while. You know, like you, if you watch Tiger, you want Tiger out there winning. You know,
Tiger's different though. Because
same thing with Phil. You know, well, Phil doesn't matter. He's just fun to watch whether he's winning or not, just because he's all over the place. You know.
Yeah, Tiger is a different situation because Tiger was somebody who, up until the recent string of injury madness, he podiumed.
Yeah,
33% of his starts.
Exactly.
Podiumed.
Yep. Yeah.
And so that's different because you don't want him tarnishing his legacy by being mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Kim was never that guy. He was somebody who had the potential to be that.
Yeah,
guy.
He was on his way to be that guy, you know.
But to me, if he just goes out there and ends up being a Pat Perez, somebody who's entertaining but can still have the good shots, but isn't going to compete, but is still somebody that's fun to watch, that to me is a win. But
yeah, or if he could go out there and shoot a couple under and help a team out, you know.
But he can't be irrelevant. He cannot be out there and be irrelevant like
no,
that.
No, he can't pull a C1 Kim.
How many tournaments do you give it before you have to have that that serious conversation with Greg Norman and say, hey man, like homeboy, like what's the deal? Why do you insist on having a Kim?
There's the board? 14 tournaments in the year. Okay.
He missed two.
So that leaves 12. I'm giving him 6, half.
You're giving him 6.
Yeah. If by the summer he's still shooting like this, I'm like, sorry, man. Like, you know, like go play in the Asian tour. And it's who knows how much did they pay him and how much was he guaranteed? You know, did he have a downside?
If I was Kim, by the way, I would definitely make sure I sign up for every Asian tour event. As you know, when you are a member of LIV Golf, you have a right to sign up for every Asian tour event.
I don't think he's gonna.
You don't think he's gonna?
No.
That would be the smart thing to do for him.
I know.
Just for reps.
He's 38 years old, you know, like does he really wanna grind and get himself back on top, or does he just wanna make money and get in the spotlight a little bit? That's the question we need to ask. Which Anthony Kim are we going to get?
He looks so weathered and so beaten up that he does look like he's just trying to get himself afloat.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. It does not look like a competitor. It looks like somebody who is just trying to keep himself from drowning.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like to me.
Who knows?
Who knows?
And another thing too about the clothing, like I know people are like, oh, it's so cool. You can wear whatever you want. Like be a little bit more professional out there.
I think he definitely took the a little too, yeah, way too casual.
Exactly.
To me, the dress, the
like, I know we want to make golf fun again and stuff, you know, like you wear untucked shirt, but like, you know, I think he's wearing like sweatpants, shorts,
and an untucked like t-shirt.
Yeah,
yeah. It looked very much like
he's trying. And the off-white golf shoes, like he's trying too hard. I feel like.
Trying too hard to look like he doesn't care, or
trying too hard to look cool.
Oh, I don't even know if it was that. To me, it felt like the dress mixed with the visual components. I think the dress added to the visual of he just looked like he just got out of rehab.
Yeah. He looks like he's on the corner trying to, you know, cop a couple of bags of meth or something, you know? But hey, we want him to do good.
We want him to do good. We just think that
we're just talking shit. Sorry, AK.
We're not even really talking shit. We're just talking what we saw. And what we saw confused us and really concerned us, because this is somebody who, again, he had the spotlight on him, and it was
I forget which reporter said it. One of the reporters said that what's going to surprise you the most is his face. Like, his face is going to surprise you. And people were like speculating, oh man, maybe he has a face tat or something. But no, it wasn't a face tat.
He just looked beat up. And that's what it was. Yeah.
Sad.
It is sad. But you know what's not sad is how built for success the Crusher GC is. I mean, they dropped 20 under par on. And I mean, Bryson, when he wakes up, it might take him a few days. He might have an off day or whatever. Apparently, he had to get a new driver head on Sunday.
What is he using? The crank?
He's using the crank. Yeah. Now, I don't know what happened.
Did you see the video with Phil when Phil was just like, he was like, oh, it's a crank. It's like with the long drives. And Phil's like, oh, looks like it's working out for you. You know, Phil, the gears are rolling in Phil's head. Phil's like calling up, get me a crank.
Well, you know, and Phil's biggest thing is that he won't commit to a shaft. He continuously messes with whatever shaft he has in his driver. Whereas Bryson limits it to just the driver head. Phil is messing with the shaft. He's messing with grips. And those can create, I believe, way more chaos into whatever's going on, because the launch angle, the bend point on your shafts can be so different from one to the other. So one week I'll see him out there with a Ventus TR red. The next week he'll be out there with a Ventus TR blue. The next week he'll be out there with just a Ventus regular. And then he'll have a Tour Series one. And then it's just, you keep seeing him swapping all these shafts around, and it's like, bro, just let's focus on the head, man. Cause you know, but
Phil's always been a tinker, you know.
Phil has been, but
he went to Augusta with two drivers, you know. Like,
well, at least he's not doing what Bryson is, where his 3-wood is a driver.
Yeah, yeah, but people have done that, you know. Stenson won so much with his 3-wood being a driver, you know.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, Bryson actually has two drivers in his bag. He has a 3-wood. Yeah, his 3-wood is actually like a regular stock driver, and then he has his crank, which is like a 5-wood. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But anyway, so Bryson apparently on round two, something was off with his actual driver. I think it could have just been like the head popped or something. Because you know, you gotta watch the curvature on the front of the face. If the face stops having a curvature on there, you get way less of the pop, or the pop might push the ball in a different direction.
Yeah.
When you play golf as much as these guys do and you train as hard as Bryson does, you know that dude is wearing faces off like way faster than even players like myself who play and practice, you know, pretty often, probably 4 to 5 times a week is what I'm practicing at. And, you know, my driver will last for me, head will last me maybe 2 years.
You know what will fix that problem?
Weed.
No, you go out and get a box of cut gray golf balls because they're really, really soft.
That would help. Yeah. That would help because, I'm tired of these Titleists smashing my face up.
Yeah.
And I actually do need to get a new face on my for my driver because I have an actual like a slash mark.
You should buy a driver just for practice. The amount of time you practice, you know.
You got a good point. I should do that.
Yeah.
I should.
Because you're hitting the range 4 times a week, like, you know, and you're playing what, twice a week?
Yes, usually two to four times a week, depending on what's going on. Especially now that we're getting into season. Probably going to move up to 6 to 7 times.
Yeah, you should buy the same two drivers and have one, you know, just go to eBay and buy a used one for practice, you know, and then for practice and one for when you're playing.
I should. One thing I've been struggling with quite a bit this season so far, though, is the winter was so boring that I actually started back a gym habit. I'm not a gym person, and I just started a gym habit, and I'm seeing great, like, overall strength gains.
As flexible?
No, still as flexible, but it's just, like, for instance, no joke with you, man. We had like first tee box this past weekend, Saturday. If I'm hitting into the wind normally, I'm hitting into a 20 mile an hour wind. I usually expect you know, 245 carry if I'm into that kind of wind, mm-hmm. with you know, maybe 15 yards of rollout tops. I don't usually roll very long. I just kind of just hit the ground. 283 off the tee.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm not even, and this is into a 20 mile an hour wind.
Yeah.
So I know the distance is there for whenever it actually gets to hot weather, because this is like 50 degrees.
Yeah, you'll be way over 320.
I mean, it kind of makes me nervous, but at the same time, it's very exciting because I know I know it's coming. Whenever the summer hits, homeboy's going to be out there just
especially once it gets the Oklahoma baked out fairways. Oh, it's going to roll, man. You're going to go like 350,
girl. I'm telling you, I had one of those last year at Gallardia, and it felt so good. Where you just keep driving the cart. You just keep driving the cart, and it ain't here. And you're like, you just keep driving the cart.
It was Sunday when we played. It rained so much on Saturday. Uh-huh. Sunday it was so soft where any drive just plugged right into the fairway.
I was hitting
a few like 235, 240 that would just plug in, and that's good for me because like I'm happy if I go out and if I consistently hit it over 250. I'm happy, you know, right. Like I only play once a week, if that, like I'm not grinding like you. So if I'm driving the ball 250 every time, I'm happy. So I was like, you know, 235, 240 when it's plugging, they'll roll out. I'll take it.
Yeah. And that feels,
it's those cut great golf balls got me such more distance.
If they're feeling smooth, and that's really a big thing, is that you have to have the right kind of finish on your balls. I've found that, you know, a dirty ball really is a big problem. Also just if you have a ball that the softballs are better for players like yourself as well, because they reduce spin rates.
Yeah.
So like I'll play with Pro Plus balls, which are hard balls for the majority of my stuff.
They do have Cut Blue, which is a four piece, which is more of a pro, like they have balls for my swing speed and my level, you know, double digit handicap versus someone like you, a single digit handicap.
Well, even that, like, I'll be frank with you. Whenever it starts getting windy, there's plenty of days in Oklahoma where you are a fool to try to play like a Pro V1X or a Pro Plus or a TPXX or a Chrome Soft X. You are a fool to play those.
You'll just spin, go way offline, right?
Yeah, unless you just hit a dirty line drive every single time, you are just asking for problems. And yes, I have my club set up to do that, and I know how to do that. But at the same time, you introduce a wild swing, and boom, you know, you can't do that. And so, we're talking about golf balls. These are important stuff. So this also talks about Jetta, you know, because Jetta, for instance, you know, they had that wild,
windy wind.
That Red Sea was swirling. But this week in Hong Kong, man, it's going to be interesting to see. Crusher GC, like I said, they've got the power, they got the moves. They're going to show up. I really, really would like to see Anirban Lahiri finally start being the bridesmaid. He has so many good finishes, so many opportunities. It's time for him to get a win. I don't think he's there right now. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Stinger boys up there again. Stinger boys.
Definitely. Somebody in Torquay is going to be in the top five.
Oh, yeah. Somebody in Torquay is going to be up there.
Yeah. Telling you, man, when Liv started, I wasn't a big fan of the team competition, and I'm still not a huge fan, but it's growing on me I'm rooting for a team now, you know?
Now, you know who's not going to be up there, right?
Anthony Kim.
Well, that and of course, you know, Majestics GC. I know I'm a fan of Majestics, and I think that this is actually going to be a tournament where they have a better chance because Stenson.
You say that every tournament, bro.
I do.
Every tournament, you're like, oh, I got it. The Majestics got a chance this week.
Well, you know, it's kind of like you with Rory. You know, you're out there, you know, guzzling on Rory, and I'm out there guzzling on the Majestics, man. I love those colors.
Yeah, I know.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
People have talked about Cam Smith, you know, not.
Yeah, he's struggling. Yeah.
And I think.
But he's always someone that starts off slow and ends hot. Like he doesn't get going into the summer. Like, you know, like look what last time, the first year on Liv, he won the Open Championship and then he went and he won in Chicago towards the end of the year. You know, like I wouldn't worry about Cam Smith until May, you know?
Yeah. And also it depends on where they're playing. With Cam Smith, he is not built for, he's built for one style of golf course. That's links golf.
Yeah.
He's built for places without trees, without, you know, desert, without, you know, all the other things in the world. And when he's playing these courses that have a billion jungles on every side of the fairway, when he's playing these unlinked holes, he struggles.
Yep.
When he plays courses that he can actually, you know, miss a fairway, and he's actually in a different fairway, which happens to him a lot. You know, he plays Bubba Watson golf, but plays it where he actually hits the putts.
Yep.
And so when we start getting to those courses throughout the year that actually afford that, he's going to be just fine. That's why he plays good at the Open Championship.
Especially once they get and once they get back to the U.S., like he plays well. Like he's won in Chicago, you know, like he'll be fine. Green, I'm sure he'll probably do well in Greenbrier, you know.
Yeah, Greenbrier is a course that I smell is a good place for him. Obviously, Bryson's going to go in there with a bunch of confidence, but, you know, we'll see what happens with that event.
Yeah. Any other points on Hong Kong? Bro, last week you said I put money on Brooks to win, and I was wanted to bet somebody for first round leader, and I was going to do Adrian Meronk because you said Meronk was going to play well this week, and I backed out, and what happened? Adrian Meronk went, and he was the first round leader.
I mean, he played good.
Give me a nice pick to put money on this week.
Next pick to put money on this week. Okay, dude, you're going to hate me for saying this one. I'm really leaning toward Kieran Vincent for having a breakout week.
Okay.
I'm being serious. I think
when it comes to the international events, I'm lost, man. I'm doing horrible in fantasy. Yeah. I don't know these courses, you know, so it's hard for me. Like when they get back to the U.S., that's when I could really, you know, put my mind into it. But
so you got to ask yourself real fast, who has played in Southeast Asia more? Okay. Remember, we're in Southeast Asia. We're in Hong Kong. Somebody's going to screw up and not put in a good food order. Okay.
Yeah.
Bubba Watson's going to feel just fine because Bubba Watson eats, you know, spaghetti bolognese. That's all he eats whenever he's overseas.
Smart.
Yeah. Cause he knows his body can handle it. He knows he's going to have problems. He's not going to have loose traction.
Yeah.
But Eugenio Chikara, David Puig, and Kieran Vincent are the guys that I feel most confident about, you know, showing up this week.
Imagine Neiman goes out and just wins again. Imagine Neiman has a Gooch-like year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as far as winning it goes, you know, Sergio had a great with Mayakoba. He had a good week in Singapore. Something tells me, man, you should keep an eye on him this week.
Okay.
Just because he didn't have a great week this past week, but he's overall in form. This is an interesting place because it's, again, for in Hong Kong. So I'm just telling you right now, I think Kieran Vincent shows up this week. I think his ball speed is solid enough. I think his confidence in Southeast Asia will help him. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Ironheads do very well. So don't just take they're gonna promote the Ironheads a lot for this week because it's Southeast Asia. This is the most Asian-esque team.
Even though it's not, Kevin Na's American, Danny Lee's New Zealand.
I know, but they, but
I know,
they,
just, yeah,
yeah, they, it's just
that's right. Liv needs Matsuyama bad, you know. Well, they do have Kozuma, right?
Yeah,
what is it, Genichiro? Genichiro
is Kozuma. Yeah.
Kozuma.
That
dude is happy as fuck, man. Anytime I follow Iron Hands on Instagram, anytime they're posting pictures, that dude has a smile on his face 24/7. He is so happy to be on. All the Live guys, like anytime you see pictures of these Live guys, you never see anybody upset. Everybody's happy.
Yeah, you're not seeing. I mean, you see frustration on course when they make a bad shot, but you're not seeing just constant dread in their eyes.
You're not seeing Shane Lowry almost breaking a club like he did at the Cognizant.
That's that. I screwed up and didn't take Live golf money.
Yeah, so, it's coming, Shane. Don't worry, buddy. Rory's going to take care of you. Rory and Shane are going to take an Ireland team, and then Dixie's going to have a favorite team to root for.
And and what's his face? Mr. Smile. His Fleetwood Mac.
Tommy Fleetwood.
Tommy Fleetwood and Matt Fitzpatrick are going to
That four-man team, that team's winning a lot.
That team's winning every single week.
I say that.
They should be winning every single week in the PGA, and they're not. But anyway, that's beside the point. I'm excited. I hope that the Cinderellas are ending because we're getting into the real part of the season.
Right? Yep.
Winter, you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt because that's kind of where a lot of the mid-level guys go from being mid-level to contenders.
It's the Arnold Palmer Invitational, man. But yeah, like we need, you know, like there was one good event on the PGA Tour. I tried to get into it this weekend, but the second Rory hit that ball in the water and then friggin' tried to hit that flop shot out of it and it rolled right back. I was like, meh. you know.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
Someone's locked and loaded. You know, hopefully this week they get a nice leaderboard and they're locked and loaded again. But I'm just not going to watch, you know, Austin Eckrod and like Jake. Like, they don't do anything for me. I'm sorry. Like,
you know, they're good players. You know, they're talented, but they're not somebody you have 10 years of investment with.
Exactly.
And that's the big thing is that these guys that are supposed
especially when I'm watching Live that weekend, you know, if there's no Live that weekend, you know, I'm not, and honestly, to be honest, what's pulling my attention away from the PGA Tour this year has been NASCAR. Like, my 3-year-old son's into NASCAR. We watched every single race this year. So
he's
making
a left turn. He's making another left turn.
Listen, when you watch it gets, you know, when you actually watch week in and week out, it's interesting, man.
Well, because again, it's kind of like,
if I'm going to watch Austin Eckrod versus these guys on Sunday afternoon or watch NASCAR, I'm watching NASCAR right now.
Well, and that's why I love the pylon feature of Live Golf and the shotgun start, because there's
constant, feels like F1, right?
There's constant motion. Yes.
Yeah.
There's constantly shifts. There's so many shifts in the leaderboard that they can't keep up with it. And I love that about Live, you know, because you're over here watching Cam Smith hit an eagle chip. Then Bryson holes one out from the fairway.
Yeah.
Then Pat Perez, you know, chunks one in the water. Then, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's going on. There's action. Whereas a PGA Tour event, they start the broadcast on the back nine of Sunday. Half the players are already off the course. And the last three groups are the only ones in any kind of real contention because you played four rounds. And so in three rounds, it keeps the leaderboard much more closer versus four rounds. There's plenty of opportunity to separate.
Exactly. And every week, you know, it's the same players every, like, you know, the same 54 guys that are going to be in there, you know, so.
Yes.
Live is doing things right. You know, there's a few things they could fix, but hey, it's only the third season. We're getting better and better every year that goes by.
Yeah, and then this week in Hong Kong, I think we'll really start to define how the season is going to look for a lot of these teams. You know, if we look at the relegation zone right now, I'm very happy. Obviously, it's still very early. But if you look at the relegation zone, we still have a good number of players that have gained 0 points. A couple of surprisers. Harold Varner III has not gained a point. Best finish was tied for 26th. Danny Lee, no surprise there. Martin Keimer, no surprise there. Thomas Peters down there. Mito Pereira is down there, which is very odd. He'll get that figured out, I bet.
Yeah.
But most of the guys who were at the bottom of that area are kind of the guys that we would expect to be at the bottom of that area. You got Junichiro Kazuma down there, Kieran Vincent, Scott Vincent as well.
Patrick Reed being 36 is pretty surprising.
Well, and again, the fact he at least has scored points, though.
Yeah.
And that's something that you have to keep in mind and really kind of just, you know, tone out, I guess, is that he's gained points.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Westwood, Keimer, two guys that we were talking about beginning of the season being captains, having those exemptions, they got to show up and prove me something, baby girl.
But this
prove
is what I'm talking about. This is why how Liv is so good. Like, listen to the top 10. Neiman, Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, Taylor Gooch, Louis Oosthuizen, Sergio Garcia, Bryson DeChambeau, Peter Uihlein, Charles Schwartzel, Brooks Koepka. It's the who's who of golf. Like, honestly, like, what's the one name that people wouldn't know there? Peter Uihlein?
Yeah.
You know, everybody else is, you know, other than, you know, Gooch is a major, and Uihlein are major winners. Like, you know, like... Yeah. Seven That's out correct. Of the 10 win majors. But yeah, it'll be a good week in Hong Kong. We'll be back next week. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at 54 Live Pod, on Instagram at 54 Live Pod, and on YouTube, as all of our videos will be on YouTube now at 54 Live Podcast. And yeah, we should have another video out at some point this week, a nice short to keep you updated with anything. And yeah, subscribe, Apple Podcast, Spotify, anything else, Jake?
Just keep your pants on. Let's watch some stuff go happen in Hong Kong. And I bet you on a scale of one to good, we're going to see Dom Boulay just 8 miles of excited this week. This is like his home course, apparently.
Yeah. All right. And Kieran Vincent, watch out. Later.